Take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3, if you will, please. We're going to be in the second half of verse 9 through verse 17. And I'm going to take 3 weeks to cover this passage. It would have been two very long messages or three shorter messages, and my voice can't take two long messages back to back on Sunday mornings. By the time the second service rolls around, I start to lose my voice, so we'll break it up into three. You can tell a lot about people based on how they are dressed. We have a couple men who, if they would wear what they normally wear to work, they would walk in on Sunday morning and you say, hey, they're police officers. We have several that if they would wear what they normally wear to work, they would come in and you see their scrubs and you say, hey, they're some nurses. You know, we can look at people a lot of times just based on how they're dressed and what they look like and make some decisions about what they do. A number of years ago, out in California, at a very posh country club, the dues none of us would be able to afford. And there was a man who was walking around on the country club, and he had ripped up jeans, and he had a tattered shirt on, a dirty shirt, and security came, and they took him, and they charged him with vagrancy. And as they're going through the booking process, they found out that that is the man who owned the country club. But based on how he was dressed, they felt he didn't fit the part. You know, we're coming to this passage in our study through Colossians, and that's what Paul's talking about. If you're a child of God, you need to dress like it. You need to dress like there's a difference. You need to put on the new clothes of this new life that you have in Christ, of a new creature. Put off the old clothes we've been looking at and put on the new. So we've looked at the negative the last couple weeks in verses 5 through 9 when he says, this is what you put off. This is what you are to get rid of and cast off, and it shouldn't be part of your life as a child of God. And now we move on to this section, the positive side, where Paul says, all right, as a child of God, this is what you put on. This is what you look like. This is how you live your life. This is what you should demonstrate to show that you're a child of God. We have far too many believers today who want to be just like the world in every aspect of their lives. And that's not what God's Word tells us to do. It's not what God's Word tells us to be. Look at verse 9 through verse 17. We ended with last week, do not lie to one another. And then we start up, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We'll look at first, we see, number one, our position. Our position. The last part of verse 9 and the first part of verse 10, when he says, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self. All right, this section, verses 9 through verse 11, is a transition. It's a transition between what we've looked at the last couple weeks where Paul says, put off this. Get rid of this junk out of your life. It belongs to the old self. It belongs to that sinful nature that you struggled with. And then in verse 12, when he starts to say, this is what you put on. So in these verses here, we have a transition. And this is something we could never, ever achieve apart from Jesus Christ working in our lives. We don't have the strength, the ability in ourselves to put these things off. Now notice that Paul says, since. This has happened. The transition has taken place. You've received Christ. Now you're a child of God. Since the old self with its evil practices has already been laid aside. And you've put on the new self. Since this has happened. Now, to be honest with you, this is something that I struggle to truly grasp and understand. This old self, new self relationship. You know, that's a battle. And I have struggled for years trying to wrap my head around what does this look like? And I've tried to share some things as we've been going through this series. But as I was reading through John MacArthur's commentary, he wrote some things about this old self, new self that it helped me, at least, to understand this a little bit better. And so I'm going to read a section from his commentary. It's 5 paragraphs. And I know it's sometimes it's hard to grasp when somebody's just reading you something. So I'm going to take my time, and hopefully this helps you the way it helped me. It said, many hold that at salvation, believers receive a new self, but also keep the old self. Salvation thus becomes addition, not transformation. They argue that the struggle in the Christian life comes between the battle from the two. But such a view is not precisely consistent with biblical teaching. At salvation, the old self was done away with. Paul told the Corinthians, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. To the Romans, he wrote in Romans 6:6, our old self was crucified with him that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Salvation is transformation. The old self is gone, replaced by the new self. And then he quotes R.C.H. Lenski, who writes this, the old man is not converted. He cannot be. He's not renewed. He cannot be. He can only be replaced by the new man. And then MacArthur writes, what is the old self? It's the unregenerate self, the former manner of existence in Adam. The old, wretched, depraved, sinful self is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, Ephesians 4:22. It is that which was replaced by the regenerate self. To argue that believers have both an old and a new self is to argue, in effect, that the believer's soul is half regenerate and half unregenerate. There is no support for such a spiritual half-breed in Scripture. The new self, in contrast, is the regenerate self. It's what believers are in Christ. The new self is the new creature Paul refers to in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It walks differently from the world, Ephesians 4:17, in divine love, Ephesians 5:1, in the light of God's truth, Ephesians 5:8, and in wisdom, Ephesians 5:15, loving God's law and God's Son, hating sin and pursuing righteousness. The Bible views all men as either in Christ or in Adam. There's no middle ground. Paul gives the contrast between Adam and Christ in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. One of the richest, most profound theological passages in the New Testament. Through Adam came sin and death, Romans 5:12 through 14. Through Christ comes grace and righteousness, Romans 5, verses 15 through 18. Through Adam's disobedience, all people were made sinners. Through Christ's obedience, people are made righteous, Romans 5:19. Just as it is impossible to be in Adam and in Christ at the same time, so also it's impossible to be or to have an old and new self. You know, so that brings us to the question. If I am completely a new self, why do I battle with sin? Why do we struggle with sin every single day of our lives? We're new. And I've been sharing with you as we've been going on, the reason is because this new self lives in that old body. You know, it's confined. This isn't our home, but we're residing in this old body. And we've looked at already, but I want to look at again. Paul talks about that conflict in Romans chapter 7. Go to that passage in Romans chapter 7. And look at verses 14 through 25. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but But I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. He makes it clear that this sin is not in the inner man. It's not that new self. It's not that I that loves God and is a part of God and His family, but it's in the flesh. Now, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes this, "The flesh doesn't mean the body in and of itself, but it does mean the body as it is being used and tyrannized over by sin." That flesh includes those sinful desires and those drives and those passions that are associated with our humanness, because even though I'm new, I'm still human. And I'm still corrupted because of the sin nature that I'm born with. The presence of that unredeemed flesh causes us to, as we've looked at several times in Romans 8:23, groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body. Every day, I am much more excited for that day when this body is going to be redeemed. Because I'm tired of the battle. You know, you get weary. I'm tired of how this body is decaying. And I'm tired of the entrapments that sin are around us every single place. But our position is we are new creatures. We are made new the moment we receive Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. But let's think about number two, our progress. Our progress. The rest of verse 10. Who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Possession of the new self. The moment I receive Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, possession of the new self brings the believer new life. I have new life, but it doesn't bring instant maturity. The moment I accept Christ, I'm not perfect. I'm not godly the rest of my life and everything I do and say, and I haven't arrived and I'm not where I need to be, because the flesh continues to dangle the garments of the old life in front of that new self. And the urges put them back on. Fall back into this lifestyle. Give in to this temptation. It's okay. You know, and so that allurement is there. And that battle against the flesh is going to go on throughout this life. The new self is complete, but I have to choose to grow every single day. Just as a baby that is born is completely human, but there is an awful lot of room for growth, right? Eventually they grow up and get real big. You know, there's growth. There's growth in every aspect of their lives. It's the same with us. I am completely a child of God at salvation. I am completely new. But I have to grow, and I have to choose to grow. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Our inner man is being renewed day by day." This inner man, this new self, is being renewed day by day so that it can cope with the outer man that's decaying day by day. That's happening every single day. Paul writes here in verse 10, "This new self is being renewed to a true knowledge." Being renewed in the Greek is anakaio in the Greek, and it talks about a contrast, to what was already there. This is a new quality of life. It's a complete contrast to what was there before. Unlike that ever-decaying, depraved nature, this new self is continually being renewed by God. The crisis of salvation, and I'm not talking about crisis in a bad sense. I'm talking about at that moment. The crisis of salvation leads to the process of sanctification, being renewed day by day, becoming more like Christ. He says, is being renewed to a true knowledge. The word in the Greek refers to something that's deep, it's thorough, it's complete. The process of renewal brings increased knowledge. All right, listen closely to me. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. There is no growth in the Christian life apart from knowledge. There is no growth in the Christian life apart from knowledge. The better I get to know Christ, the more I can become like Him. But I have to know Him, who is being renewed to a true knowledge. Paul wrote in Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In Ephesians 4, 22, Paul wrote, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Holy living flows from mature knowledge. We were formed in God's image. At creation, we were formed in God's image. We were deformed from His image because of sin. But the moment I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I can be transformed into God's image again. And the source of knowledge that is being renewed to a true knowledge is the Word of God, the Bible. You know, you hear it here again and again and again. We have to be in the Word of God. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable to be used for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Peter exhorts all believers in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The Word of God is the food that fuels the growth of the new self. And how fast we grow depends on the knowledge we put into our hearts and lives and put into practice as a result of that knowledge. And I don't care if you have been saved 75 years or 75 days, we all have room to grow. We are not there yet. We are being renewed day by day. I have to continue to gain that knowledge. I have to continue to put God's Word in my heart and mind and live it out in my life and practice it. That's a choice that I have to make. And the goal of knowledge is to conform the believer to the image of the one who created us. The new self becomes progressively more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ who created us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 49 says, just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. God's plan is to make us as Christians more like Christ. In Romans 8, 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. We might be the firstborn among many brethren. To become conformed to the image of His Son. That new self is going to continue to progress toward Christ's likeness until either Christ returns or He calls us home. That process is going to happen the rest of our lives. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is. That hasn't happened yet. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until he does, we've got a lot of work to do. And we've got to continue to grow every single day of our lives. You know what? We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We live in a vile and a wicked world. You don't have to look very far. A world, this world that we live in, needs to see Christ. They need to see what Christ looks like in a life. Are we living our lives and we're different from the world and people notice there's a difference? Because if the next tragedy hits, are you the one that they're going to come to and say, hey, there's something different about your life and you have a peace and a happiness and a contentment that I don't have. How do you get that? Be ready to make a defense to him who asks you of the hope that's in you. Are we living our lives? Is there something different about us? Because we're new. Because we are different, we ought to live like it so people see the difference. The world doesn't want believers who look just like them. They want believers who are different, who live out a love relationship with Jesus Christ, and it makes a difference in their lives. You know, the hypocrisy they're used to. They want to see something different. Father, help us to be different. Help us to fall more in love with you each and every day. Help us to put your word into our hearts and lives. Lord, as your children, help us to act like it. Help us to be different from the world. May our faith be genuine and real. And Lord, there's a lot of days when I blow it with my attitude, with my selfishness. And there's a lot of days the world can look at me and say, yep, there's just a typical preacher who doesn't practice what he preaches. And they probably could say the same thing about most of us. Lord, help us to grow so that those days are less. And we are evidence to the world that we are becoming more like Christ. Give us that passion. There's a world around us that needs to see Christ. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.